talk about our Prince Siddhartha become Buddha by contemplate the Four Noble Truths. Then after he become Buddha, and he said, unshakable is the liberation of my mind. This is my last birth. Okay, so now a question for you. Since this is his last birth, or another statement we ask, when a bhikkhu's mind is liberated, where does he reappear? How should you answer? When Arahan passed away, where does he reappear? This question has been posed by many, many students, including during Buddha's time. Now, another ascetic called Vajragotha, he approached the Buddha, asked the same question. He said, when a bhikkhu's mind is liberated, where does he reappear? How should you answer? Where? Okay, so I quote the sutta for you, the Majjhima Nikaya. Agi Vajragotha Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya 72. So Vajragotha asked the Buddha, when a bhikkhu's mind is liberated, thus, Master Gotama, where does he reappear after death? Buddha said, the term reappears does not apply, Vajra. Then Vajra asked again, then he does not reappear, Master Gotama. Then Buddha answered, the term does not reappear does not apply, Vajra. Then he asked again, then Arahan both reappears and does not reappear, Master Gotama. And Buddha answered, the term both reappear and does not reappear does not apply, Vajra. And the last question he asked, then he neither reappears nor does not reappear, Master Gotama. His question also confused us. Okay. So the Buddha said, the term neither reappears nor does not reappear does not apply, Vajra. So now, Vajragotha fall into confusion. He said, Master Gotama, before that I have some faith in you. After listening to your answer, my faith to you lost completely. And I fall into confusion. I have fallen into confusion. Then Buddha answered, Buddha said that it's enough for you to fall into confusion because this Dhamma, Vajra, is very profound, hard to see and hard to understand, peaceful and sublime, unattainable by mere reasoning. Just theoretically reasoning, no, you cannot understand. And it is to be experienced by the wise directly, not from reasoning, okay? And it's hard for you to understand when you hold another view. Let's say, if you hold the view of annihilation, then you cannot understand. And if you hold the view of sasatariti, changjian, the view of eternalism, you also cannot understand. So if you hold another view, or you fall into the extreme view of annihilation or eternalism, then you cannot understand my meaning. Okay. Then if you accept another teaching, for example, Hindu teaching, where the self unified together with their God, then you also cannot understand my teaching. Okay. So if you hold, accept another teaching, you approve of another teaching, you pursue a different training from what the Buddha's training, and follow a different teacher, then you can't understand. So I say a question, since you cannot understand, let me question you. You answer me. Only then you can understand. Okay? So I got counter questioning. Okay. Then Buddha asked him, what do you think, Vacha? Suppose a fire were burning before you. Would you know this fire is burning before me? You know, not all of you. A fire is burning in front of you. Do you know? Yes. Okay. So he said yes. Then if someone were to ask you, Vacha, Buddha continued to ask, what does this fire burning before you independent on? Being asked thus, what would you answer? Let's say the fire is firewood and firewood fire. A firewood fire is burning in front of you, you know, right? It depends on what that fire is burning. How would you answer? It's very easy. Depend on what? Depend on the wood, right? Depend on the wood. So the fire is burning. That's, therefore, we call wood fire. So what's your answer? Being asked thus, Master Gotama, I would answer, this fire burning before me burns independent on wood or grass or stick. Okay? Understand? Okay. If that fire before you, Buddha asked again, if that fire before you were to be extinguished, no more, would you know this fire before me has been extinguished? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, okay. I would, Master Gotama. If someone were to ask you, Vacha, when that fire before you was extinguished, to which direction did it go? To the east, the west, the north, or the south? Being asked thus, what would you answer? What would you answer? Okay, so is it Vacha answered? That does not apply. Before that, he asked Buddha four questions. Buddha said, that does not apply. Now, Vacha answered, yes, that does not apply. So how skillful is the Buddha? So he started to understand, yes, the question he asked does not apply. So he cannot answer, so that it does not apply. Master Gotama, the fire burned independent on its fuel, dependent on its fuel of grass and sticks and wood. Okay? When that is used up, when this grass, wood, and stick are used up, if it does not get any more fuel, it does not get any more fire, any more stick, grass, and wood, it is reckoned as extinguished. Understand? It means cause and effect. When cause has come to the end, the effect cannot arise. So when a fire or the wood glass has burned completely, no fire can be found. You cannot say that fire go to the north, go to the east, go to the south. This does not apply. So too, Vacha, when the craving that sustain, craving is the fuel. Craving is the fuel like fire, like the stick, wood, glass. So when this craving, we have three types of craving, right? Craving for existence, craving for sensual pleasures, and craving for non-existence or non-becoming. So when this craving, fuel, come to extinction, then no rebirth can take place. If you ask where it reappear again, then this does not apply. Understand or not? This is a very profound answer. Huh? Understand? Okay. So another monk called Sati, Sati Bhikkhu. So one day he said, he told his fellow monk, when Arahant pass away, he is annihilated. He make a statement. So many fellow monks, told him that, no, you present wrongly the Buddha's teaching. Buddha never taught like that. But this Bhikkhu Sati insisted, yes, when Arahant died, he is annihilated. 灭去了。So the fellow monk cannot convince him. So they reported to the Venerable Sariputta, because Venerable Sariputta is foremost in wisdom, very good to answer people's question. Okay, so before Venerable Sariputta asked him a question, explain to him what is the wrong with the statement. When Arahant die or pass away, he is annihilated. What is the wrong with the statement? Just now you have already understand. Now, okay, you should understand as well. What's wrong with this statement? 当一个比丘阿罗汉往生了，他断灭了。 What's wrong with this statement? Okay, so this statement, first of all, this statement already assume there is a self. There is a self. There's a self come to annihilation. Okay? Just now we have already mentioned only cause and effect, no self. Craving come to extinction, no more rebirth. No more arising of five aggregate. And so if you say Arahant, when Arahant passed away, he is annihilated, we already hold another view, the view of annihilation. And when you hold such view, or when you hold a view of self, you cannot understand what is parinibbana. You cannot understand when Arahant died, whether he reappear or neither reappear, this does not apply. Okay, if you cannot understand, also never mind. Because it itself is very profound Dhamma. Okay, try your best to understand on it. So Venerable Sariputta approached him, told Sati, okay? Sati, did you say that when Arahant dies, he is annihilated? Sati Bhikkhu said, yes. And Venerable Sariputta did not scold him, but he counter-questioned him. He said that, what do you think of an Arahant or Tathagata? Do you think, or do you think form as Tathagata? Yes or no? Form, body. Do you think body as Tathagata? You answer me, please. Louder, to show your confidence. No, okay. Do you think Tathagata is in the form? Tathagata inside the form, inside the body? No, okay. Do you think Tathagata apart from form? Tathagata has no body one. Do you think Tathagata is apart from the body or from the form? No, okay. So what do you think about Tathagata? So Tathagata is not in the form, and Tathagata also not as form. But Tathagata also not without form, right? So Venerable Sariputta said, so even in this very life, you cannot find Tathagata is something real. Because I question you, you say no, right? So even in this very life, you cannot find Tathagata is something real. Then how can you say after passing away, Tathagata is annihilated. It's a very philosophical question. Huh? It depends on your understanding. And if you hold on to the self very strongly, you cannot understand. Then Sati Bhikkhu answered. I say, Venerable Sariputta, last time, then Venerable Sariputta continued to ask him, is form permanent or impermanent? How would you answer? Impermanent. Huh? Is what is impermanent suffering or happiness? Suffering. Is what is impermanent subject to change, suffering? Can be regarded as myself or not? No. Okay. So he answered no. Huh? Then Venerable Sariputta asked him, okay, now if somebody asks you a question, when an Arahant passed away, when a Tathagata passed away, what is your answer? He asked Sati Bhikkhu. Sati Bhikkhu said, form is impermanent, body. Form is impermanent, feeling is impermanent, perception is impermanent, formation is impermanent, consciousness is impermanent. So these five aggregates are impermanent. What is impermanent is suffering. So when Tathagata or Arahant pass away, what is suffering now come to the end? This is the answer. What is suffering now come to the end already. He didn't say annihilated. The self is annihilated. For this reason, Buddha said, formerly and now, what I teach, all Buddha, formerly and now, what I teach is only suffering and the cessation of suffering. I didn't teach a self, just suffering and the cessation of suffering. 苦跟苦的止息, that's all. So Sati Bhikkhu now get a right view already. Before that, he got a wrong view of self or annihilation view. But after being questioned, being taught by Venerable Sariputta, his view becomes strict and he understand the Dhamma correctly and become Arahant. Therefore, view is very important. If he still hold the annihilation view, he will never become Arahant. I keep on repeat. In the Four Noble Truths, in the Noble Eightfold Path, the first one is called right view. When there's right view, the following factor will be right. Samma, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration also will be right. But if your view is wrong, then the remaining all will become wrong. Right view is the first light in the morning. Shine through up to night. Okay, so then after Buddha's enlightenment, he start to preach the Dhamma. He start to turn the wheel of the Dharma. And the first discourse is turning the wheel of the Dharma to the five ascetic. And after that, for 45 years, he keep on teaching the Dharma. He walked through many places in India on foot. Although Buddha possessed psychic power, he can fly in the sky. From one place to another place, he can fly in the sky, but he seldom use psychic power. And although psychic power is the result of deep concentration, but Buddha did not encourage very much using psychic power. He said, if a bhikkhu simply show psychic power, just like a woman show his breast in front of public. Therefore, he himself seldom use psychic power, unless he want to convince somebody from different sect, then he show psychic power to gain their confidence. Otherwise, he didn't use psychic power very often. There are three types of psychic power. One is divine eyes. In fact, there are six types. There are six types of psychic power. One is called divine eyes, can see a being in the heaven. One is divine ear. One is recollecting one's past life. Another one is can read other people's mind, reading other people's mind. And the fifth one is Idiveda, can fly in the sky, can go into the water, can walk on top of the water, and can make thousands of persons like you. For example, one person can create thousands of my image, and so on. But the last one is called Asawakaya Wahang, destruction of the taints, destruction of all defilements. It is the highest psychic power. Not a mundane psychic power. The first five is called mundane one. Devadatta, everybody know, right? Devadatta got psychic power, but he end up his life in hell. Therefore, don't worship psychic power. Don't only respect those who have psychic power. You should respect those who have killed their defilements. Respect though they have uprooted their delusion, greed, craving, and anger. Not those who have psychic power. And those who have psychic power may not be Arya, may not be noble one. Some people think, oh, those got psychic power must be Arahant already. Not necessary. Devadatta got psychic power. He is evil person, wicked person. This is also, you must have this right view also. Okay? So after that, Buddha keep on turning the wheel of the Dhamma until come to the age of Iti. And in the last year of the Buddha, at Beluwagamaka, Buddha was attacked by severe sickness with sharp pains as if he were about to die. Buddha's body is like us, subject to sickness, subject to old age. But Buddha endured all his sickness mindfully, clearly aware and without complaining. He thought, it's not fitting that I should attain final nibbana without addressing my followers and taking leave of the order of monks. I must hold this disease in check by energy. Then he did so, and the disease abated. Then the Venerable Ananda came to him, saluted him, and said, Lord, I have seen the Lord's illness, and I have seen the Lord's patience enduring. I lost my bearings and things were unclear to me because of the Lord's sickness. The only thing that was some comfort to me was the thought the Lord will not attain final nibbana until he has made some statement about the order of monks. And Buddha answered, but Ananda, what does the order of monks expect of me?
For 45 years, I have taught you the Dharma without secret. I taught the Dharma with open hand, without holding on, without any secret. What do you expect from me? What do you expect of me again? So this is a famous Buddha's utterance. Huh? Tathagata has no teacher's feast. He does not hold something valuable. He does not hold on and hide. No, he teach what he knows with open hand. Everything. So he come to this world is for the welfare and happiness of all beings. How can he hide to himself? Not possible. Then Buddha said, Ananda, I am now old, worn out, one who has traveled life's end. I have reached the term of life, which is iti. Just as an old cart is made to go by being held together with straps, so the Tathagata's body is kept going by being strapped up. It's only when the Tathagata withdraws his attention from outward signs and by cessation of certain feelings enter into the silent concentration of mind that his body knows comfort. So Buddha endured all his sickness because he need to preach the Dharma. Only when he enter into certain cessation of feeling, then he feel comfort. Otherwise, he feel a lot of pain in his body as well. Then finally, Buddha give admonishment. It's very important admonishment. He said, therefore, Ananda, you should live as I learn unto yourself, being your own refuge, with no one else as your refuge, with the Dharma as an island, with the Dharma as your refuge, with no other refuge. And what Buddha means, the island. Live as islands unto yourself. What does Buddha mean this island? What does Buddha mean this Dharma? With the Dharma as your refuge. Then the Buddha explained. Here, Ananda, a monk abides contemplating the body, the feeling, the mind and the Dharma earnestly, clearly aware, mindful, and having put away all hankering and grief for the world. So Buddha started to teach four foundations of mindfulness. And this four foundation of mindfulness, first mindful of your body, Anapanasati, 32 part, four elements, all these are body contemplation. Then mindful of your feeling. We have different types of feeling, right? We have different types of feeling. Happy, painful feeling, pleasant feeling, neither painful nor pleasant feeling. So whenever feeling arises in you, mindful of it. This is the instruction of Buddha. And mindful of mind. We have so many mental states. A mind affected by anger, a mind affected by greed, a mind affected by remorse, a mind affected by jealousy, a mind affected by sleepiness, a mind affected by restlessness, a mind affected by competition, and so on. So we see this different state of mind as mind, not as I, not as myself, not as belong to me. This is called contemplation of mind. See my state as my state, not this my state, for example, restlessness, remorse, anger, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness, remorse. Don't see this as belong to me. Don't see this as I, myself. But see them as mental state that arise due to certain causes and will soon vanish. This is called contemplation of mind. Okay? Then lastly, contemplation of Dharma. Contemplation of Dharma includes all the five hindrances: sloth and torpor, restlessness, doubt, ill will, and greed, sensual desire. So see all these five hindrances as Dharma, and see them as it is, not belonging to you. And also seven factors of enlightenment, four noble truths, five aggregates of clinging, all these are under Dharma contemplation. So Buddha say, make this four foundation of mindfulness. What are the four? You repeat for me. Mindfulness of body, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of mind, mental state, and mindfulness of Dharma. Make this four foundation of mindfulness as your refuge. We take refuge in Triple Gem, right? Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. So we take refuge Dharma. This Dharma is four foundation of mindfulness. So when you practice this four foundation of mindfulness, then you put aside all the grief, all the sorrow, all the greed. Put aside your family bond, your business, and your property, your family tie, and so on. And earnestly, mindfully, and clear comprehending. Mindful and clear comprehension. This is how Ananda, a monk, lived as an island unto himself, with no other refuge. And those who now in my time or afterwards live thus, after I passing away, after I die, if those in my time or after live, after I die, they will become the highest person. If they practice for foundation of mindfulness, after I die, even without me, they can become the highest person. If they are desires of learning, if they are desire of accept this training, this learning, they can become the highest person. So this is the instruction and admonishment given by the Buddha to his followers. Therefore, he asked Ananda, what the monks expect me again? I have give all my teaching with open hand. So take the four foundation of mindfulness as your refuge, as your island. Don't depend on other people. Depend on the Dharma. So you must listen how to practice four foundation of mindfulness so that you can make yourself an island. Can make yourself a refuge. And when Buddha is going to die in Kusinara, when he's going to die, he lies in between two sala trees. And at that time, the flower blossom untimely. And the sandalwood, all the flower fell from the sky and sprinkle on his body as if pay the homage, the last homage to the Buddha. And even then, Buddha said, Ananda, all the sandalwood flowers, scent, that fell from the sky in homage to me. Never before has the Tathagata been so honored, is esteemed, worshipped, and adored. And yet, Ananda, whatever monk, nuns, male or female disciples, dwells practicing the Dharma properly and perfectly fulfill the Dharma way, he or she honors the Tathagata. He or she paying the highest respect to Tathagata. This is a very important word. We pay homage, we offer flower, offer incense, offer water to the Buddha. It's a wholesome thing. But Buddha said, it is not the highest respect that you show to me. What is the highest respect you show to me? What is the highest respect you should show to me? Practicing Dhamma. Practicing four foundation of mindfulness. So if you practice four foundation of mindfulness, you don't give me fruit, incense stick, flowers, no problem. But you only offer me flower, incense stick, water, but without practicing four foundation of mindfulness, this is not a real respect to me. Understand? Okay, so if you really want to show your own respect to the Buddha, you have to practice the Dharma accordingly. And Buddha have shown you the teaching with open hand, without holding on. Okay, so today, I wish all of you show the highest respect to the Buddha by practicing four foundations of mindfulness from day to day, from year to year, until the end of life. Sadhu, sadhu.